I haven't.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to I Hate Your Movie, where we inflict movies on each other for your entertainment. My name is Dan.
I have a question for you. Do you
is that your name?
Do you ever intend to stop being smug about that?
No.
And rightly so. I'd be doing the same.
It's the only win I ever get. Then I'll forever be smug.
In your position, I'll be doing exactly the same thing.
Hey, it's hard winning against you, okay? So let me just have this one.
Anyway, my name's Rick.
And this week we watched, as part of Friendury.
Yes.
We watched Dead Poets Society.
We did watch Dead Poets Society because Dan thought this would be a film for me.
Well, I thought, you like your sads.
Okay.
And other than that, I felt like it is old, but I feel like it's timeless still. It feels like it's kind of this Amadeus thing, where it's like it's filmed in the 80s, but it takes place in the 50s. So, you know, it's kind of just this whatever time.
Solid theory so far.
But something always is happening.
Okay.
And the main character is not Dick, but we may disagree with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I think I know where your sticking point will be. I think this will be like a Pig style discussion.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I remember what we argued about in Pig. I think this is going to be the same. But before that,
yep.
Let me just do what you do.
Yeah, rated 100% on everything.
Not quite, but pretty high up.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to this. It's nice being in this, on the defending part of this for a change.
Finally, you're on the backseat. So Dead Poets Society was made in 1989, directed by Peter Weir. You know, just the guy who did fucking Truman Show.
Okay, wow, Truman Show.
Yeah.
That's a good film.
Same director.
Yeah.
Means just as good. It's rated 8.1 on IMDb.
Nice.
85% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
4.3 on Letterboxd.
Nice.
Which is a new rating system. Won an Academy Award. Was nominated for 5. It stars Robin Williams, Ethan Hawke, Robin Sean Leonard. One of my favorite kind of actors that no one knows about.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who you thought looks like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Jim Carrey. Like a young Jim Carrey.
He grew sideways. but I like him. I think the best way to explain him to the audience, he's the American version of a Shakespearean actor. He's in lots of Shakespeare stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick, what's your one-sentence review for Dead Poets Society?
My one-sentence review for Dead Poets Society is as follows.
Yeah.
This film should be retitled The Problems of Overprivileged White Kids.
Sure.
They don't have them. They just don't. And throughout this film, right, throughout this entire film, have you ever watched How I Met Your Mother?
Sure.
Do you remember how Barney Stinson sees all the films?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, my God, this Hans Gruber, who was just trying desperately to get some money together, and the bad guy, Bruce Willis, stopped him. And he sees every film like that. He's on the side of, like, The Grinch and all kinds of stupid. Like, he always sees film backwards. And that's exactly how I saw this film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, start to finish. The school is right. The school is right. Their lives would have carried on. They would have got really good educations and they would have gone on to great things in life. I think they said in the thing, like 85% of all graduates go on to Ivy League schools. And here comes this teacher who, like, oh, carpe diem, seize the day, go off and be an actor. No, don't go off and be an actor. You fucking idiot. You absolute pleb. You're on the road to be like one of the most successful like people in the country.
But that's not what he wants to do. Who cares?
I say this as someone who got like the highest grades in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went off and did retail because that's what I wanted to do. But I still like, you need to do that first. You need your education, when your parents have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars to get you into this brilliant school, finish. Just go do it. Don't fanny around.
Well, let's just put down the kind of basics here. So if you haven't seen this movie, it takes place in a very, very fancy school that might as well be like English, Oxford, whatever, which is weird that, like, I didn't know there's places like that in America when there's like a uniform you have to wear and shit.
Yeah, the Catholic schools there.
I suppose. Uniforms. Yeah, and they have a new English teacher who, instead of kind of very dryly teaching them.
Instead of giving them the education they're tens of thousands of dollars paid for, he teaches them some nonsense. And he teaches them, not even nonsense, but he teaches them half of their workbook. Like, when they take over, when the air quotes bad guy takes over the class at the end of the film, he's like, pull out your textbooks and go to page, like, 152.
It's ripped out.
Even before that. He's like, go to, like, the last chapter of the book, and they're like, oh, but we didn't do chapters 1 through 5, and we didn't do chapters 7 and 8 either.
We jumped around.
Yeah, well, you're fucked then, because you're going to fail miserably. That's ridiculous. Like, that is not an education. Like, imagine you go to school and the teacher's just like, you know, this big textbook that you're going to be learning for the next 2 years or 3 years. And at the end of it, you'll do your GCSEs or your A-levels or your university tests. And then that teacher only teaches you, like, half of the book because, oh, I'm a fun teacher. Yeah, let's go outside and stomp around. Let's kick a football around instead of learning English. No. You can fail English. Everyone in that class is going to fail English. It's English. It's one of the most important things in the entire curriculum.
Is it for them, though?
Yes.
Because they are going to be, like, lawyers and politicians.
Yes. You need English for being a lawyer and a politician.
Do you need poetry?
Those are two terrible examples.
Do you need dry fucking poetry?
Yeah, but it's, like, that also can't be his entire course.
I didn't imagine it would be.
It can't be, like, the class on poetry.
Well, no, but
he's supposed to be teaching them English. He's the English teacher.
He's an English teacher, but maybe, like, they do a bit of poetry and then they go into novels or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't teach me any of that. Couldn't bother with it. Oh, I'm too fun for that.
Oh, God. So Rick sides with the crotchety old white guys.
Absolutely, I do. 100%. And in this example, yes.
But I think the movie covers itself very well in that because there's things that happen that go over the line. And then the teacher comes and is like, yeah, learn to do carpe diem and learn to have fun and learn to do poetry and think for yourself. But don't be stupid and learn what you have to learn anyway.
Yeah, but it's his fault they were in that situation to begin with. My massive takeaway from the entirety of this film is the kid that shot himself,
spoiler alert,
would be alive by the end of that film. By the end of that year, if it wasn't for Robin Williams.
Right, I disagree with that. And I think the movie portrays it very well.
Because
again, he does say don't do stupid things. Like, still put your head down and learn. But you can express yourself when it is your time. And there's a very important scene there. And we're going to jump around a lot. But this is like the end of the movie where the young Jim Carrey goes to him and he says, oh, I really want to do acting, but my father doesn't let me. And Robin Williams is like...
He encourages him to do it.
No.
Yeah, he does.
No. Not,
he does.
Not, no.
Yeah.
He goes, have you told your father?
Uh-huh.
Have you told your father?
But he can't tell his father. He's not going to tell his
father. He's not going to, and he lies about it. And that's when Robin Williams encourages him. Remember? He goes like...
Doesn't he palm off the question?
No, Robin Williams pressures him to tell his father because he says... If you haven't told your father, then you're acting to him too. That's not healthy and stuff. And you need to tell him. And you need to tell him how you feel, like, really. And there's even, just before he kills himself, he almost tells his father how he feels that he wants to do this and things. And then he shuts himself up. And that's why he eventually kills himself.
I don't think that kid would have gone to the acting audition to begin with without Robin Williams' influence.
Sure.
Because he even says, oh, carpe diem. And his friend asks him, what's your dad going to say? Oh, carpe diem, let's do this. And he would never have done that.
Sure.
If it wasn't for Robin Williams.
But
so without Robin Williams in this film, that kid doesn't shoot himself. At the start of the film, he is living this unhappy life, admittedly.
Yeah.
But he is happy to carry on his unhappy life on the trajectory he's on. And then Robin Williams comes along and says... Live your life. You don't have to follow all the rules. Tear out all these pages. The rules, you choose which ones to follow. And then he comes back later and he's like, oh, actually, you know, be sensible about which rules you choose. But without the initial carpe diem nonsense, rip out your textbooks because, you know, you're not going to need them anymore attitude, that kid would be alive.
I feel like it is more a domino effect thing rather than a direct correlation. In that way, you're right. It is a domino effect.
Yeah.
Robin Williams shows up. He tells kids to think for themselves and he ends up killing himself. But there's lots of dominoes in before that where there was an off-ramp of this, you know?
Okay.
Like what I said with the father. he keeps cautioning them to do, you know, sensible things and don't be stupid while trying to look for your meaning of life.
Still, you can't put that kind of mentality into a bunch of wound up, pent up frustrations, young adults, and not expect there to be consequences. And there were massive consequences, and it's his fault.
By the way, if you're thinking about harming yourself, talk to someone.
Yes.
Definitely talk to someone. You get your head out a little bit, because these things happen when you're really just overthinking stuff and just being very insular. So talk to someone about anything.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not weak, it's strong to ask for help.
Yes. Now back to Robin Williams.
Now back to Robin Williams poorly influencing a bunch of people.
In education overall, don't you think that thinking for yourself is a very important lesson to learn, and it isn't really not in education at all?
Interesting question. I think there's a lot more, because as kids you naturally want to do that. You naturally want to think for yourself and do things your way and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea is no. is that you're not qualified at that age to understand the consequences of what you're doing and what it might lead to down the road. So, no.
Okay. Wow. Such a grouch. Such a conservative.
I haven't even started my notes yet.
I haven't either. My first note is I hate Scottish instrument.
Oh my God, because yes. Thank God.
I forgot bagpipes. Oh, I forgot the word for bagpipes.
I'm so happy you said that. If there's anything on this podcast we can agree on more than anything else in the entire world, we may have our differences over taste and culture and borders or whatever, but what we can definitely agree on is that bagpipes suck. They are awful. They are windy, horrible noise.
Let's rename this podcast The Alliance Against Bagpipes.
Just enough of them.
Yeah, they sound horrible. All every time. Every time. It doesn't sound like a tune, like a guitar or a piano. It just sound like a dying animal of some kind.
I remember when I was a kid, my friend's cat brought in a frog and was slowly killing it. It sounds like a human.
Yeah.
It sounds like a human screaming. Yeah. And that's what bagpipes sound like.
That's what bagpipes sound like.
It's honestly, it's awful. It's like someone put a train whistle through an old balloon. You know that sound where you pull a balloon? It's like, that. But in a louder, this is music version. No, it fucking isn't. Shut up.
The only time I heard it kind of sound okay-ish is in
vacuum of space.
No, in Scottish metal, when it's I heard some songs where it was incorporated in and not overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of in the background, whatever. And that's when it sounded okay. That's when they recorded it 200 meters away. That's when it sounds okay.
When you put 10 more layers of sound over the top of it, it's all right.
It's all right. So we see kids going to get their sorting hats done. That was my first thought. It's like a Harry Potter shit. Everyone has a uniform. You're going to be sorted into Hufflepuff.
Yeah, because that's the thing as well. Because these kids are rebelling a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it very opens up and they're smoking in the room.
Yeah.
And they're obviously not allowed to smoke. It's really funny when the guy first opens the door and he puts a cigarette down and he just waves his arms about.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you now, that's
not going to happen.
That's not going to work. But the teacher still doesn't notice, or the dad or whoever it is that comes in.
Yeah, they are already rebelling in a way. But I feel like Robin Williams is brings some artistry to it, you know? Because they're rebelling in a very teenager way. But Robin Williams kind of shows them how to, you know,
kill themselves.
This is a good film. My favorite things in this movie is just little, super background stuff, which I don't know if you noticed, because I noticed you writing an essay on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Even before Robin Williams shows up there in a classroom, and then there's a little shot when there's a guy draws boobs on his notepad. It just zooms out. It's just a little background, you know, little detail, but it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it shows they're bored with what they're doing, and, you know. And to be fair, I was on his side at the start. He gives him a speech at the start and he says we are all food for worms. We are going to stop breathing, blah, 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 blah. Make your lives extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. you know, use the tools that you've got and that you have been given in your massively white privileged world and do something amazing with it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm there, right there with them.
Well, it shows them opportunities, what they can do.
Like kill themselves.
No. Because they can do other
because
stuff.
Because that's the other thing as well. Like, nobody by the end of that film is better off than when they started, right?
I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Maybe Ethan Hawke.
Maybe that guy who was creepy on that girl, right? He gets the girl. It's a bit creepy, but
yeah,
he ends up better. Ethan Hawke, I'd argue he gets better because he kind of comes out of his shell. He's like extremely sad at the end, but mm-hmm. he does come out of his shell. Like he says nothing for the first half of this movie.
Yeah.
And then he kind of gets his voice. What did you think about the acting?
I thought it was very good.
Mm.
Yeah. Especially Robin Williams.
Okay.
I think because I'm so used to seeing him in like Mrs. Doubtfire. And
which you watch every week.
And films like that, you mm-hmm. know, it's comical films.
Yeah.
That it's nice to see him in something like this, where he actually has to do something and not just be zany and over the top. And
yeah, he does do that moment where he's like, here's what Marlon Brando sounds like.
Yeah, but yeah.
That was a bit dated for me. I don't like that when he does that in Aladdin either. There's all these references that no one understands anymore. Like, this is not, he didn't think about the future. That no one will understand these references in 10 years.
Well, that's a lot of films, to be honest. Really.
But he's very reliant on it.
Mm.
Well, to be fair, there's only one scene in this movie that's like that.
And I think even today you know who Marlon Brando is. And
yeah, I liked him a lot. He's got very like kind eyes and he's like very sincere. I like all of them really. Very well cast. The teenagers, it's very accurate. This was pretty much the only trivia that's interesting. Is that Robin Williams said this is his favourite movie.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yeah.
It's definitely, from a filmmaking perspective, it's his best film that I've seen.
It's definitely better than Patch Adams, which is the poor imitation of this.
I've not seen Patch Adams, but those don't seem to be related.
It is, because it's very like, oh, against the establishment, ho ho ho. But yeah, it's just a terrible version of this.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I like to go a little bit, like, talk about the behind the film and that kind of stuff.
I don't know much about it, but sure.
Well, not behind the scenes, but more kind of like what the film kind of brings up. My question is, what are your thoughts on poetry?
There's very few poems that I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. I feel like poetry is one of those things where you can say anything is a poetry, kind of like how you can say anything is an art. Like, you don't have to have a rhyming scheme.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying with paintings and stuff like that, I'm very much new media.
Yeah.
So I'm not super into them, but there's a few that touches me. There's one in this that touches me.
Yeah.
That one that they have as a in the Dead Poets Society book. Like got me a little, I did a little cry.
Yeah.
I did a little secret cry. I'll just let you know afterwards. It's when he kills himself and then Robin Williams reads the poem and mm-hmm. it's like something along the lines of, you know, I tried to live but they didn't let me, so I died or whatever. It's a very great it's a very accurate quote.
Mm.
I did a little cry. I was like, oh, that's sad.
Poetry for me is something that I really wish I understood better, you know?
Mm.
I have owned books of poetry in my life, and I have endeavoured to read them as best I can. But there's so much of it I don't understand. And it is, like you say, like artwork. And there's so many like symbols and pointers to things of previous poems that I haven't read, and pointers to things in previous works of literature and art that don't really resonate with me because I never did that. I do have a favorite poet.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of Charles Bukowski? He is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's mad. So it was last century and he's just mad. He is this grumpy old man who hates everyone. He had, if you get a chance, look it up on YouTube. There's Charles Bukowski on People.
Okay.
And he recites like this, one of the poems that he wrote.
Oh, the further away I am from the human race, the better I feel. Even though I write about the human race, the further away I am from them, the better I feel. 2 inches is great, 2 miles is great, 2,000 miles is beautiful. As long as I'm able to eat, they feed me because I feed them. But I'm allowed to be near them When somebody even brushes against me with an elbow in a crowd, I react. I do not like the human race. I don't like their heads. I don't like their faces. I don't like their feet. I don't like their conversations. I don't like their hairdos. I don't like their automobiles. I don't like their dogs or the cats or their roses.
And like so many of his poems about him, like just being a grumpy old drunk, living alone or like hiring prostitutes, and some of his poems about his cat. And it's just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, as Robin Williams says in this movie, it doesn't have to be, you know, high concept ideas or whatever.
Softly as a cloud.
Or yeah, or referencing like ancient Greeks or whatever. It could be anything. You know, and whatever resonates with you, resonates with you. You can't help it. You can't force liking something, you know, kind of high concept. And I'm like you. I like the little simple ones. My favorite poet is actually a Hungarian poet.
Yeah.
His name is József Attila. He was brought up very low class, so he's very blunt about everything, as yours is. He's got poets like, I fucking hate my mother. I fucking hate my father. I have no land.
This is from Attila Joseph. For my birthday. 32 I've turned today. This poem molded I from clay. Shiny, mighty gift with which I will surprise in a cafe with starry eyes, myself, myself. 32 years have gone by, and yet the money has been shy. Toughy, lucky.
And I think that's the point of poetry. It's just kind of like, it's just kind of the beauty of words. You know, you can put them together and have different meanings. And I enjoy it, but like I say, a lot of it I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't like those where you have to have like read 100 books to understand. Because like I have the writing philosophy of making high concepts, but making them simple enough to understand. Isn't that, I feel like there's a artistry to that as well.
One of the most famous quotes of Charles Bukowski is, "Find what you love and let it kill you."
Wow. Hey, I agree with that. One of my favorite lines in this. It's funny lines. I don't know if you find it funny, but Robin Williams comes in, does his little ho ho, carpe diem ho ho, does that, and then the nerdy kid in the classroom is like, "Are we gonna be quizzed on this?" No, you idiot, you fucking stupid idiot. Other than the drawing boobs, there's like a kid like sneakily stuffing his face with like crisps. Yeah, I just really like those little details where you're like, you don't pay attention, you're not gonna notice it, but it's like this super background is like, oh shit, hope he doesn't see me. I don't know why I wrote this down. So it must be like in the middle of the movie, but Rick's blood pressure is peaking.
So Robin Williams tells them about the Dead Poet Society.
Yeah.
I thought that scene was hilarious, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll tell you for why. Because they walk up to him. They're all like on the grass. They're all walking across the grass. And they walk up to him. They go, "Oh, what's the Dead Poet Society?" They hand him his yearbook. And then he squats down for no reason.
Because he's quirky.
He just squats down for no reason. And then like, everybody squats down with him, like it's some secret. Like, why have you done? Just stand up and talk to each other. It's just the whole thing struck me as odd.
Well, he's an odd character. He does things intentionally weird. Wouldn't you have loved a teacher like this at school?
Every kid would love a teacher like this in school, and they would all fail English. So, you know, you judge who's the winner in that situation.
So here's your final exam. Carpe diem.
Yeah, here's your final exam. It's on page 200 of your workbook. Yeah. Oh, we didn't do page 200. We did 190 and then we jumped to 263.
And we went out and did some goose stepping.
Yeah.
Outside.
So yeah, I probably would have loved a teacher like this, but yeah, I would have failed even more than I actually did.
But would you have come out thinking for yourself a little bit more?
Unqualified and thinking for myself, yes. Again, now you judge like, yeah, when I'm trying to apply for colleges and universities and things, oh, I'm going to write down qualifications, carpe diem, I lived my life to the full. No, you fail, go away, go empty some bins somewhere. That's your life now.
Rick,
hello.
Do you like to listen to bonus episodes on patreon.com/IHateYourMovie?
I love it more than anything else.
It makes my life so good.
I've grown 12 inches since listening to...
Where?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Did you know that on patreon.com/IHateYourMovie, we have our best episodes on the show for £1 plus tax? you can enjoy all our bonus episodes we do every month. We do things like trivia.
Current champion.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you. I forget. I hate you. we do things like...
Random film generators.
Random film generators.
We've watched films like Resident Evil 3 and Halloween, no one cares.
Halloween 2, the bad one. The other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
Not the other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
We get movie suggestions from our patrons and much more.
More.
So join this great community of people for £1 plus taxes a month. Patreon.com/IHateYourMovie.
They then reform the Dead Poets Society, where they join the Ku Klux Klan and run out into the woods in their pointy hats unnecessarily. Like, I have a question in terms of, like, did they own those cloaks already? Did they buy them especially for the Dead Poets Society? Where did those cloaks come from?
Maybe, like, the fancy school does that.
Maybe, but then you wouldn't run out of the school to get in your school clothes.
I don't know, because the school felt pretty remote. Like, it felt like it was surrounded by...
Yeah, but, like, if you're trying to sneak off the grounds,
yeah,
you don't want to look like a student.
Yeah, but it's dark enough, and they were, like, in the forest.
At first, yeah, but they had to run across the grounds.
I feel like
first.
They just used that for the rain or whatever.
Yeah, what's wrong with a coat? Why are they all... just get your coat out, you know?
Yeah.
And then if someone, you know, one of the teachers looks out the window, they might think you're just like a robber or something.
They should stand on each other's shoulder and dress up in a big trench coat. Hello, I'm Mr. New Teacher.
Little fake moustache.
Yeah.
I had a real pet peeve.
Okay. Right?
I had a real pet peeve with the way that Robin Williams treated Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
Throughout the whole thing.
Oh, you didn't like his poetry. That was really good. It's when he stands up. And
yeah, so...
Is that the scene you had a problem with? That's the
kind of, yeah,
scene.
But he kind of, like, the guy's, like, really introverted and he doesn't like public speaking.
Yeah.
And he kind of gets him to do, like, out of his comfort zone. He really, like, badges on him about doing things and, oh, God, you should be up here in the front row and be more lively and be more... Like, fuck you. Let the guy be an introvert, you absolute prat.
Tell you
Go
what.
Fuck yourself.
I like that scene, but tell you what, that would never work on me. I would just be even more insular.
Exactly.
I would crush into a black hole.
Exactly. I would completely freeze up and I would hate him for the rest of my life for making me do that. I'll tell you what wouldn't happen. I wouldn't come up with an amazing poem on the spot because that's never happened in the history of the universe.
It wasn't an amazing poem. It was just rambling, but...
Still.
It was interesting rambling.
Yeah. You wouldn't come up with that.
Mm-hmm.
You would just be like, my cat. Did a shit or whatever. I don't know. Come up with some absolute nonsense.
Well, my justification for that is I think Robin Williams probably saw that kid is maybe not introverted but shy. You know the difference. Like he's intentionally kind of reserving himself,
mm-hmm.
and then that's what he wanted to get out of him.
Still,
yeah,
that is the kind of teacher I absolutely hated.
Here's a question. So this takes place in the 50s.
I don't know when it takes place. Yeah,
takes place on like based on the cars,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
That was one of my first notes. Is oh, those are old cars. What time is this set in?
Yeah, I think 50s.
Yep.
Did Mr. Keating start the hippie movement just by himself? Because it started in the 60s, mid 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe those kids got out and became hippies.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's another fault of his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just as he caused the suicide of Jim Carrey, he caused he caused the drug crackdown epidemic. It's his fault, basically.
Yeah, everything's his fault. He sucks. So I was hoping to bring this up naturally.
Okay.
Due throughout the course of the discussion.
Yeah.
But one of my biggest pet peeves, and I think you saw me react to this.
Is this when I wrote down your blood pressure peaked?
Probably, yeah. Because at this point, he said something, and it was like, my whole body went, ooh.
I think that's when I wrote down, yeah. I remember that.
And I'll tell you for why.
Yeah.
Because he's an English teacher, right? He's an English teacher that got a poem wrong.
Okay.
He got it wrong because he's all this carpe diem, blah, blah, blah. And then he quotes a poem, The Road Less Travelled. You know? Do you know the poem, The Road Less Travelled?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. You know of it? You know what it means?
Remind me.
So if someone says to you, The Road Less Travelled, mm-hmm. what does that bring up to you?
Go your own way.
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
Which is exactly how he presents it in the thing. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrong. That is not the way the poet wrote it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And any person who's ever taught English or knows that poem, like, deeply,
yeah,
as he would, because he teaches poetry as part of his massive, like, ooh, isn't poetry amazing, would know. It's about looking back on your life. It's not about being at a crossroads and seeing the road less traveled and seeing like this one sunshine and that's not. It's about going back, and then as you look back on your life, you can see one of two things. You can see that you've taken the road less traveled and you've constantly gone off and done your own thing, or you look back in a negative way and you kind of say, oh, I should have done the road less traveled. If I'd gone that path, everything would be sunshine and roses and beautiful. Mm-hmm. But it's not. I went the normal way. And it doesn't matter what your choices were in your life. That is how you will see it. That if this had happened to me at that time, I would be in a much better place. If that had happened to me at this time, I'd be in a much better place. But you took the road everyone travels. Mm-hmm. And that's what the poem's about.
I thought it was about jaywalking. Okay.
So, yeah. And he got it wrong. Okay. So he doesn't even know poetry. So,
He's the hobo that stumbled in. Crap for him!
The real, like, teacher is, like, in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, he's tied up. Thinking about the equation, how to read good poetry.
He's tied up in his tweed jacket.
Maybe like this film is like a little cheat code into my brain or something. That's why I like it. Maybe it's cheating. Maybe I'm biased.
Yeah, why?
Well, you know me. I am going on the road less traveled. Your favorite meaning. Then that's why I did a little cry at the end. Because, you know, I agree with the message of the movie. I agree with the carpe diem bits. Sensibilities.
Yeah.
As Robin Williams, I'm completely agree with him. With his sensibilities where he says, like, don't be stupid, but carpe diem.
Yeah.
Full quote. But yeah, maybe that's why I'm a little, like, I did a little cry, because I go on my own ways. And I could have taken on a full-time job and just put my head down. And I was never, like, in a good position to be an artist. I just do it by forcing it. Like, my situationship doesn't allow for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm broke and whatever. I'm not classically trained. You know, I kind of trained myself how to do writing. And I just do it with sheer ambition.
Mm-hmm.
So I relate to it. Because, yeah, I just feel like we have, like, one life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you think. If you're Christian, this doesn't count. But
If you believe in reincarnation.
Yeah, or that. If you're a heathen like me, you think this is your life and that's all you got. So you might as well live it to the fullest that you can think of, you know, whatever that means to you. And I believe I am, even though there's lots of frustrations with it, obviously. But when I look back, I wouldn't change a thing.
If a demon came up out of the ground and told you that you had to live your life exactly the same way, like everything exactly the same, every word you said, every action you made, everything you did for your entire life, you'd have to live it exactly the same way and witness yourself doing that through yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How would you perceive that? Would it be a gift or would it be a curse? And that's kind of like a measure of how well you think you've lived your life.
I think that's a flawed
thing,
because it's like, would you watch your life as a sitcom? No. It removes your agency and you're forced to sit down and watch your life.
Yeah.
I feel like that's different than doing your life.
No, but if you're going to review your life as it's been so far,
yeah,
then at what points would you be observing yourself and screaming, don't do that? Or at what points would you see yourself and actually, no, this is the start of something I did.
Mm-hmm. That's my other problem with it, is that, like, if you do one thing very differently,
you can't change anything.
Okay.
You can never change anything.
But, like, okay, if you'd be frustrated that you didn't do a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you didn't do that, your life would be completely different. And then also you might not learn the same lessons that you did.
Yeah, but I think you can look back and kind of, again, like I say about doing things sooner, mm-hmm. how many times do you hedge your bets? How many times do you kind of, you know, let go of something that you shouldn't have, or picked up something that actually turned out to be a complete waste of time in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I could think of, like, coming to England faster.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if my life would be significantly different. or could be worse, you know. It's just like it's all domino effect or butterfly effect shit, where like you just don't know where you'll end up.
I agree with that to a point, but I also think there's large sections of things that you do that have no impact on your life as a whole, that, you know, things that you, you know, maybe projects that you've worked on that mm-hmm. didn't go anywhere and were a bit of a waste of time. Or
I do feel like it all builds on it, you know. Yeah. Like all the, I've recently been kind of opened up some very old writings in Hungarian, like very old and very cringy, and they're bad and no one ever saw them, but they were like training for the big thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like even if it, like, there's projects that don't go anywhere, it's all building. Even if it was a serious project and it fell apart, you know, I learned how to deal with people. I learned how to lead, how to manage, what to do different next time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about it.
So you'd be just content. You'd live your demon comes and you have to live your entire life exactly as it is now, up until the point where you met the demon, and including the time with the demon, you would just be like, oh, okay.
I wouldn't be content because I had a lot of hardships. But I feel like if I didn't have those hardships, I wouldn't be me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the crucial difference is to me.
And would you be able to understand that from your backseat perspective?
No, I'd be very frustrated.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but I still feel like that removes the...
But the question, the question on the table,
yeah,
was, how would you feel about it?
Shit.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, but at the same time, I wouldn't change a thing.
Okay.
I'd give myself $1 million when I'm 10. I'd be grow up to be a piece of shit.
Maybe not. You wouldn't necessarily. Maybe you gave yourself $1 million at 10. You might have used that in for your work and become a comic book mogul.
I don't know, because when I review all the mistakes I made in life, it's like they really molded me as a person.
Mm.
Like I did awful shit. Cancel me now. I hurt people a lot and did stupid shit. And if I didn't do those and didn't face the consequences of those, I wouldn't be me.
Mm. Right, so let's bring it back to fun discussions, right? Let's talk about Jim Carrey's acting career, or the guy who plays Jim.
Robert Sean Leonard.
Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Robert Sean Leonard.
What's the character's name? Who does he play?
Neil.
Neil. Let's talk about Neil's acting career.
I really thought you meant the actual actor. Because his father says, you're going to be a doctor at mm-hmm. the end of this. And he plays a doctor famously in Doctor House.
Okay. So yeah, let's talk about his acting career.
Yeah.
It means everything to him. Oh my God, it's the most amazing thing. It's something that's so incredible that I started last week and I immediately got the lead role in the part because I'm a privileged white man. And it's just the most amazing, most important thing in the world that I started 2 weeks ago. And oh, now I can't do it.
Doesn't all teenagers like that? I remember you struggling with that part. Didn't you feel like that when you were a teenager? Like everything you did was like the most important new thing. And also you're like teenager finding your personality and finding yourself. You get excited by new things, you know?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
I was.
Not to that degree.
Well, the script covers his ass a little bit. She said, oh, I did some acting in this and that. I really liked it. And I always felt like this is what my calling is, but now I know what it is my calling, you know.
I will give this film a modicum of credit.
Oh my God. Shocking.
Because I did write a note when Neil is in his play, the dad shows up.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of my head, I went, ugh, he's going to be like, oh, that was great, son. Well done.
Okay.
I proved me wrong.
Did you really think that was going to happen?
Potentially, yeah. And I wrote down, if that happens, I'm out.
You walk out?
I'm done. I'm done. Completely done with the film because it's pointless at that point. I mean, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He's just a dick about it.
Yeah. To be fair, I thought he was going to be like on the spot telling him off.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been cliche as well. But no, he just like, come with me, you piece of shit. Or whatever.
I don't want to make light of what happens next, but...
Like you've been before.
But guns make a lot of noise, you know?
That's why he wakes up.
They wake up in a kind of...
No.
They do.
No.
He actually says, what was that noise?
Yes.
He wakes up the mum.
The mum, yes.
He wakes up the mum.
Yes.
Yeah.
The dad wakes up like this. What? Like that.
And he's like, what was that noise? And then he wakes up. So why doesn't the mum wake up? It's freaking gunfire in a house.
I don't know.
No, it's just... You, everyone would be like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Not just like, oh, hello. No, I've had a bad dream.
That's bullshit. He wakes up like that. Mum doesn't.
Okay,
he
even
does.
If he wakes up like, huh, that's still not enough. You would freak the F out. If there was gunfire in your house, you would be like, well, what is that?
Well, maybe...
Not just like, oh, hello.
If that's what wakes him up, then he's like, maybe like, it was like in this weird middle dream state where he's like, not sure what's real, what's not.
And the mum doesn't wake up at all. Oh, wake up.
It's a shooty neighborhood.
It's a shooty neighborhood. Oh, I'll tell you for what as well. Oh my God, it really bugged me. And it just speaks to the absolute privilege that these kids live in. Because Neil, actually, like, his argument for, like, being in the school and following what his dad says is like, oh no, my family have sacrificed a lot to get me in here. We don't have money like that character over there. And then they go back to his house and they're sitting in the library talking about his future. Oh, we didn't have a lot of money. Fuck off.
Well, yeah, he's not Scrooge McDuck, but he still swims in some money. He's still richer than any of us combined.
Yeah, he's just, like, that house has like 20 rooms. So I was like, oh, we didn't have money. And my father sacrificed a lot to get me in here.
Yeah.
He had to give up one of his 7 trust funds.
Yeah, well, it's all about perspective. To be honest, like, it's a good argument, this white privilege thing. And amazingly, I didn't think of it.
No.
I don't know. I just, look, if you zoom out, yes, that's the picture. But like, this movie really zooms in into the characters and their inner workings, and I really like that, and that's how I can relate. If you're the poorest of the poor, or rich as the rich, if there's a good movie and there's a good filmmaking, you know, it doesn't matter who is about, like, you're gonna like the character. I like the characters. It was just kids trying to find their personalities.
Yeah, no. I don't feel that way. I feel like it's really unrelatable because of their stature.
I didn't go to schools like this, but I related.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just because, like, their emotions are forefront of this movie, rather than, yeah, their privilege or whatever.
Yeah, and then, oh no, everyone blames Robin Williams for all their problems. Yeah, because he's their problem.
He told them, we talked about this, he told them, don't do stupid shit. This is included in the stupid shit section. Suicide.
Do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. Live your life to the fullest, but actually, you know, calm it down a little bit.
No, be sensible and don't do stupid shit.
That's message B. Message A is do what you want.
It's not that black and white. It's grey.
But he was right to be fired. He was 100% right to be fired. Well, in that school, in that situation, he definitely was at fault for that kid's death.
No.
Yeah. You even agreed with me earlier. If it wasn't for him, if he didn't start that domino falling, the first one, that kid would be alive by the end. But you agreed with that earlier.
But that's like saying, I don't know, if a butterfly didn't flap his wings or like whatever. That, so
It's not like that. Because that school should have had a better teacher. That school would have hired a teacher that was none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if that school had hired a normal teacher, as most schools would in their situation, that kid would still be alive. And it's not a butterfly flapping his wings, because that's random. It's not. He outwardly came out and impacted their lives intentionally.
Yes. There's someone else who outwardly come out and impacted Neil's life intentionally, and it's his father who didn't let him do acting.
Mm-hmm. But without Robin Williams, because he can't not have a father. He has to have a father.
Yeah, but have to be an asshole?
He doesn't just appear into existence. No, but he has to have a father. And his father doesn't have to be an asshole. But Robin Williams starts the ball rolling.
His father puts rocket launchers on that ball.
Still.
So I think the father is more at fault.
He's more at fault, but Robin Williams is...
I guess they can't fire the father from being a father. But, yeah. I guess Neil fired the father from being a father.
So yeah.
Yeah.
They're 100% right to fire him. Especially as they go through the whole thing when the stuffy old guy teaches the class at the end. Yeah.
That's funny.
And nobody knows a fucking thing, a clue what they're doing, what they're supposed to have been doing all year. Like, no one has a clue. So, good.
But they send him off in a tearjerker scene.
They do.
Saying...
I'm Captain.
Yeah.
And do you know what my last note of this whole film is?
Yeah.
It's I'm Captain. What is that actually accomplishing?
They let him know that he impacted their life.
Mm.
That's it.
Cool. Then they go back to just being students.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing changed, apart from the guy killed himself.
Well, they might change internally.
And do you know my favorite part about that scene is? He looks back at the class. Only half of them stood up anyway. Like, there's so many kids still sitting down at their desks like, fucking idiots. Just want to learn English.
It's realistic.
This is no way to teach accounting.
Yeah. The community parody ruins this a little bit. Just a little bit. Because it's funny. No one's desk crumbled like in Community. Anyway, that's Dead Poet Society.
Somewhere in there, we talked about Dead Poet Society, so yeah. I'm glad you like that.
It's like an AM radio discussion of politics and culture plus some Dead Poet Society discussion. Hey, why not?
Yeah. Oh my God, I have to recommend a film.
Well, we have to rate this one first.
Oh, yeah? 3. No, 4.
Okay. It's very quick and then very quick change, though.
Yeah, I feel 3's harsh.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, 4. I think for the filmmaking and the acting, the content I had major problem with, but sure. The filmmaking and the acting.
I rate it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really like it. It made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
I like the message. The only thing that's a bit cringy and out of place in it is the Robin Williams. This is what Brando sounded like. Just like, but it's only for like a brief scene, so I can deal with that. So what's next?
Cool. In the next episode of I'm Better at Recommending Films Than You Are.
Yeah.
We're going to watch Lady Bird.
Okay.
Lady Bird, yeah.
Well.
Neither of us are in any way qualified to talk about this film,
mm-hmm.
So I am a little bit nervous about it. It's a coming-of-age story about a teenage girl.
Okay.
So just get your cancel button out now.
We're going to talk about our experiences growing up as teenage girls.
Yeah, so it's a coming-of-age story done much better.
I did dress up as Red Riding Hood for Halloween once.
Yeah?
I do have a picture of it. Do you want to see it?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
I was a baby.
And you say your mum thought you were gay. How weird.
Yeah. I don't even know how that came about. Next Halloween, I was Batman. The contrast. Okay. Lady Bird.
Lady Bird, yeah. I think it's one of those ones, it's one of those 80-20 films where it's like 80% I think you're going to like it, 20% you may hate it because you may see a lot of stuff.
It's Greta Gerwig, right? The creator of Barbie.
Believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, probably like it then.
Cool.
Cool. Well, February is over. So prepare for...
I thought we were going into February.
This was February, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's over. No, I've got more ideas.
You got more ideas?
I've got some that is a recommendation from not only me, but from one of your other friends.
Yeah?
Keep listening and find out what it is. Next episode.
I feel like you need a theme song.
A friend, Yuri?
Yeah. Friendury! Wow!
Bye.
Bye.
Two weeks later, Rick asked to record something extra for this episode.
The most hard part of this is going to be the voices.
Are you doing voice? You're doing a whole play? What the fuck's going on?
I'm quite nervous.
What kind of voices are you making?
I need to do, well, they're all probably going to sound the same, but I need to do voices for 3 different kids.
Okay. Robin Williams, you just go, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, pretty much. Ho, ho. I've got a kind of a vague Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't do this all in one go, will you edit it?
Sure. So. Sure, I don't know what's going on, but sure, if you want.
Okay. So this is Dead Poet Society, kind of summed up in however long it takes.
Okay.
So... Hey, we're all successful school kids. We're looking forward to studying all year, and most of all, meeting the new English teacher. Hey kids, wanna go fuck about outside? Carpe diem! Oh, yay! I'm going to cross-dress. I'm going to harass and sexually assault a woman. And I'm going to be an actor. Daddy, daddy, can I be an actor? No, we paid a lot of money for you to get into this posh school. But daddy, I've wanted to be an actor all year. If I can't be an actor, I don't know what I'll do. No, we want you to be a doctor. I was shy, but now I'm standing on a desk. I'm coming, I'm coming. Yes!
I like that you gave them posh British accents, even though they were like a bunch of Americans. I still think that's a good movie. I think I always say.